quite something. The boy's a star.
This is the Footy on Paper podcast, where we talk football from your point of view. Hello, people. Welcome to the Footy on Paper podcast. Happy new season, everybody. Football is back again. My name is Tayo Okununga, and in studio, as usual, my right hand man, Ifeanyi Awoniyi. The attacking one.
Yeah, you know, 4-3 leads. Yeah. Relax.
This is not a Liverpool show. You can't just be coming 4-3 leads.
I'm trying to be like my manager, and I'm trying to attack the podcast, you understand? Come out, you know. People, because I know people are going to be on mentions very soon, you know, saying all sorts of things. So it's good that I come out and.
So wait, they were not your mentions already.
They're always my mentions, guys. It's me, fanboy forever. You know now. Yeah.
How you doing? Happy new season.
Happy new season, man. It's good, man. Football is back.
Yeah. Random thought. Do you have like any ritual like before the season or like before games or something?
I can't say down air. So I just I can't say down.
I wasn't my own anyway.
Sure. Okay.
Like. The Saturdays before every game, I used to try and like clean my room and everything before the early kickoff. But like now that COVID set in, I'm a very lazy person. I'm moving my cleaning to what they call it
Sundays.
Sundays,
yeah.
But at least Arsenal still won, yeah. So that one didn't work.
Okay. I think I can say one I used to do when I was in uni. Yeah, I used to go to. Cafeteria and like buy Ewaji in the morning because you know breakfast of champions.
I know, because I was coach of my team in uni, and I know certain players used to like go to do the number two before they come to the pitch. One of my players had to wait for him 30 minutes. I know he's listening, but wow. We had to wait for him. We had to like
big man,
anyway. I know you want to talk about Liverpool.
Like, no,
today is strictly fan talk. Man.
Yeah, strictly fan talk. Yeah.
Why not talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You don't want to say anything.
Nothing. I'm good.
Yeah, sure.
Why are you begging me?
You know, the pressure on now. Like, what's happening, Sam? Let's talk. What's happening?
New team, you know. We don't know them from any. Maybe we didn't do our scouting. Let me give my excuses now. Yeah. And so, Bielsa, you know, we put a fast one. Yeah. I'm sure we did scouting, but Bielsa is Bielsa. I was confused on the day. Yeah. Joe Gomez, Joe Boy Pondek, you know, he just. Virgil. You know, just.
Slipping
and sliding. Mm. Well, he scored a good goal.
Well, let's be serious now. Were they fit? Did they look fit to you?
It's going to take a while for.
To me, like, the Liverpool team, they don't look fit at all, man. Especially your midfield. The way Liverpool press normally, I didn't see that at all on the day.
A lot of the players, it's going to take a while for them to, you know, get back, get into that rhythm. Mm. But maybe by like game week 3, you know, we're going to start seeing some expressive football. Okay. So I'm excited. I'm just happy that, you know, regular league is back.
You okay with the squad?
Yeah, I'm okay with the squad. Maybe one or two signings. But like if the window closes, I'm still going to be very okay with this squad.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. Next is fan talk. We'll speak to fans. Let's see how they are looking forward to the season.
Hello, EJ. Welcome back to the Footy on Paper podcast. Sorry, no vex. I don't forget to know the first time. How now?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
It's cool. We always love to have you on here. First of all, first things first. The Arsenal. Seems like you guys are about to win the domestic quadruple this season.
Please, dear. One game at a time. But I'm actually very happy with what I'm seeing because last season we also struggled against these teams too. I remember we drew to Norwich, Aston Villa, one else, Sheffield, like the newly promoted teams. I don't think we did the double over any of them. Yes, we didn't do the double over any of the newly promoted teams. So it's just good to actually have a win, like start the season with a win. And I honestly hope that we can continue. I'm not saying we'll win the league, but I just want an improvement.
Oh, okay, that's cool. You saw Aubameyang and Lacazette, you know, they played really well. They got goals on the day. Yeah. Were you impressed with their performance, especially, you know, that you're top three strikers?
Yes, I was. Like, I'm happy with Aubameyang. I think he's shooting more. I feel like before, most of his goals were, you know, close to the goal, just, you know. But now I feel like he's actually shooting more. Like, because he scored something similar during the Community Shield match. And there was a video going around, like, one of our friendlies against Aston Villa, he scored like a worldie. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. For Lacazette, I think like he wants to prove that he still belongs in the team. Because there have been so many links like saying, oh, he's going to Atletico, he's going to Juventus. So I think he really wants to stay and fight for his space, and hopefully he has a good season. He has a good season because last season was not his best at all.
Also, the new signings, Gabriel and Willian, particularly, they impressed on the day. You know, Gabriel got a goal and Willian bagged three assists. How do you think they played?
For Gabriel, at first he was a bit shaky. It's normal, probably the nerves. So Gabriel was a bit shaky, but after that, like, he was solid. I think he was solid. And Willian, I feel like one thing I've always known about Willian is that he works really hard. His decision making may not be the greatest, but he works really hard. And I think that yesterday he did play well, and I think and I hope that he continues to play well.
I don't know
how he's going to, like, I don't know if he's always going to play that role, because I'm not going to lie, I still want Pepe to be starting. So I don't know how Arteta is going to line them up. Some of our friendies, I saw Willian playing in the midfield and Pepe still playing in his normal role. So I don't know. Wait and see.
Yeah, you know, it's a very, very long season with a lot of games. So definitely, a lot of rotation.
Yes.
Okay, now speaking of signings now, do you expect that, you know, your club is going to do more business in the window? You know, the window closes in October.
So a lot of Arsenal fans are so optimistic. And I'm one of those people that I'm not as optimistic as they are. A lot of fans think we'll get both Pate from Atletico and Awa from Lyon. I don't think we're going to get both. In fact, even to get one will be hard, but I feel like we may get one at least, and it seems to be Pate if he has to get anyone. And because Gary Martinez is gone, and here in Torreira, Torreira has actually been homesick. He wants to go back to Italy, a lot of things, and also he's been out of favor. So I heard we're going to sell Torreira. Martinez is already gone, so I feel like we can get the money to sign Pate to release, because I mean, he wants to come as well, I heard. So I feel like you mentioned, but it's only Pate.
You mentioned Pate twice now. Clearly, you feel like he's the more important of the two signings.
Yes, really? I think so. I personally think so, because, like, I feel like he is more creative than Ceballos, but I feel like we already have Ceballos and we can go for our next season. But we don't have somebody like Pate right now, in my opinion, in our team. So I feel like we should go for Pate.
Okay. Now, quick one. Don't think I want to. Just give me a position. Where do you see Arsenal finishing this season? Go.
Fifth, yes.
Wow, Lord, you're not fourth.
I don't think our squad is good enough for 4 years, but they should surprise me. I'm hoping they do. I'm really, really hoping they surprise me. But as a squad that as it is now, with no Pate, with no other signing, I'm thankful.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like we can go City Cup runs, maybe go for an Europa League, maybe go for one of the, hopefully defend the FA Cup. I don't think the last time we defended the FA Cup was really in 2015, because we won 14 and 15 FA. So maybe we can go on a cheeky FA Cup run and do fifth. I feel like it's fifth. Let's try and do well in the Europa League personally as well. So yeah, that should also be an aim. But in case you get fifth, if you win the Europa League, you can still.
Okay, let's talk a little on WSL, Women's Super League. I want you to just give me a winner for the WSL, and maybe just give me like two or three players you think we should look out for in WSL. Okay. You know, there's been a lot of signings.
Yes, so I'm so excited about the signings. Like, a lot of World Cup winners, a lot of winners of WSL. I'm going to go Arsenal. I have to back my girls. I really have to back my girls. Like, last season was so poor for us. We were third, so we didn't even qualify for Europe because Europe is top two. So we didn't qualify for Europe. So maybe that's even what will help us, because Chelsea and City, they have Europe. So us, we just focus on the league. I mean, the FA Cup last season was bad, and I think he wants to make amends from that. Signings to look for. So like, I want to see how Alex Morgan would be, because sports women are not as great as the US women's national team, and I feel like she benefits from like being like with so many stars in the US women's national team. So I want to see how she would be in this sport, because they're not as great. Like, she's literally walking into that team and being the best player. Then Chelsea are looking good. Chelsea women are looking good. Penny Harder, she was in Bloomberg Women. Like, she's good. I think she was in the final of Euro 2017 or the semi-final. I can't really remember, but I know Penny Harder is, she's class. Then they have this new girl, Bethany England, that has been balling. Then Sam Kerr, if she can stop missing shooters, she's going to be up there. Man U women have signed Tobin Heath and Christian Press, World Cup winners. But then two women that look to me as, I feel like if Arsenal don't win, City women are winning. Yeah. They have Lucy Bronze back. Lucy Bronze to me is the best right back in the world right now, personally. Like, Lucy Bronze, she was starting for Lyon, so she's back to Manchester, and she wants them to do well in Europe, because English sports don't do well in Europe. Last team to win the UWCL was Arsenal, and that was in 2007. I mean, we're gangantuan.
Wow, you guys, see the depth of knowledge that Lohi just bringing to the podcast today. Honestly, we're honored to have you on here. Lohi, thanks so much for sharing all your WSL knowledge with us, and like, hopefully Arsenal, you know, prove you wrong and, you know, do everything.
No, I really want them to prove me wrong. It's just that last season we won our first two games, and it ended up being our worst season ever. So, I'm just hoping.
Sorry, let me clarify. The Arsenal men prove you wrong. Arsenal women shouldn't prove you wrong, please.
Oh yes, exactly. Please, Arsenal women, please win the league. Yeah.
Hi, Aisha. Welcome back to the Footy on Paper podcast. It's been a while since we had you on here. How you been?
Hello, I've been good.
What's happening on your side of the world now? What's happening?
Well, aside from my FPL being in shambles, I'm good.
Yeah, everyone's FPL is in shambles, man. Look at Firmino just missing chances up and down.
Yeah, it's just game week one, so we move.
Yeah, but like, you're a Barcelona fan, yeah? So like, let's move to La Liga for a bit. Why not?
Yeah, I am a Barcelona fan.
So like the big question in the room, you know, the GOAT, Messi. There was a little issue, you know. Well, not a little issue, very big issue, you know. But like, it's sorted out now, he's staying. Like, what's your reaction to that?
My reaction at first was, it wasn't shocking to me, because I had this feeling that he wanted to leave for a very long time. But then he was stuck between, should I be loyal to the club? Should I think about my own future? But then he decided to go for his. But because of the whole drama surrounding it, and then he decided to stay. And then I was a bit disappointed by some of the fans, because the tics I saw during the whole saga, it was just borderline disappointing for me. At a point, I really, really wanted him to leave, because they started calling him names like he was being ungrateful, blah, blah, blah. He didn't do anything for the club. It was just really sad seeing him like that. But then, since he's staying, I'm just going to be a bit optimistic. But I don't think I'm expecting anything this season from him.
Okay. How do you feel about how the club handled the whole saga? Because, you know, there was a release clause and the clause expired. And then they refused to honor the clause because they said, you know, the clause had expired. But we know what happened during that period. There was a pandemic, you know, so football wasn't happening. How do you feel the club handled it?
I felt really bad. I feel that the club didn't handle it well. Also, Messi is not without fault here, you know. But then, I just thought they should have just let him go. I mean, he wanted to leave, just let the guy go. And to be honest, he needed to leave because domestic dependence was just getting really, really, really bad. So we just needed him to leave for a fresh start, but then they didn't let him go, so he's back now. Well,
Okay. You sound very tired, Kwele.
Honestly, I'm just exhausted with the whole thing. Being a Barcelona fan can be quite exhausting.
Yeah. You mentioned something about not having too many expectations, but I'm sorry, I'm going to have to make you like say something about that, because like obviously you can't just go into the season not just, you know, wanting to like have anything happen. You're a Barcelona fan. What do you think? Like what are your expectations for the club this season? What do you think? Or what do you want to happen?
For this season, I just really want us to forget about the Champions League. I just want us to put it aside for now. I know that's what everyone wants, but let's just put it aside for now. I don't know. Even a La Liga title will be enough. The problem with Barcelona fans is they think a treble is their birthright, which it's not. Like, you just really need to calm down. Barcelona fans are too entitled. They want to always have everything at the center, and you can win all the time, even though, yeah, we've had a lot of problems. I just wish we could just go out of the Champions League honorably. I know there's no way to lose honorably, but I mean, let's just go out like with like a 1-0 loss or 2-0 loss, not the whole maybe we are leading with about 4-0 and then the second leg will fuck up, or then they will give us the 8-3 thing again. It's just so terrible. I mean, let's just leave on your blue since we've already qualified for the Champions League. But I believe we should focus, you know, with just La Liga for now. Just do something. At least let's just get one. If not, if we put our mind into like getting maybe probably a treble and then we end up with 3-0 or so.
Okay, so what you're saying now is that Barcelona should try and manage the what's called the demands they have for the team, because you feel like the team right now cannot compete on all fronts, yes?
Exactly, because number one, we have a new coach. We don't know what's going to happen. There was a friendly match yesterday and it was a bit fine, but still, the new coach, and we still have Suarez, we still have Vidal, no one has left yet. We haven't bought a new player yet, so everything's just so, you know, manageable. We're just managing. So.
Right,
I don't really have any high expectations this season.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to move to the Barcelona women's team now, FCB Femenini. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about our very own Nigerian, you know, Nigerian best, Asisat Oshoala. Do you think she should be in contention for the bigger awards? You know, she's been killing it in Spain.
Yeah, I think so. She's really, really good. I'm really proud of the Barcelona FCB Femenini because they do the thing, even though they got knocked out in the Champions League, but still doesn't matter. They are still better than the women. For me, personally, I think they are better.
Okay.
And I really hope to see them get good this season.
Sorry, you really hope to see who?
What?
You hope to see who?
I hope to see them, like, you know, perform well this season. I have really high expectations for them, but not for the men's team.
All right, Aisha. Thank you so much for contributing to this episode. We love you about putting on paper.
No problem.
Talk to you another time, yeah?
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Happy New Season, The Alchemist, aka Franchise.
Hey, how's it going? I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Obviously, I'm looking forward to the season, man, with all the signings and everything, man. Chelsea,
definitely.
Your owner is flexing the cash.
It's been a while.
Yeah, that's true. Been a while. Let's get into it. Chelsea made loads of signings. Are you satisfied with the work that Frank and the team have done?
Yeah, so far so good. I'm very satisfied, because one thing that has been very obvious from the dealings, they've been very purposeful, they've been very pragmatic.
Mm.
So yeah, definitely, I am satisfied. Like, maybe we haven't gotten all our targets, but so far so good. I think I'll give it a very good 9 out of 10. So what I'm looking forward to is the outgoing. Like, I'm trying to see who we send out, either on loan or on permanent transfer. But so far so good. The instances have been very impressive.
Yeah, as a Chelsea fan, did you expect this, though? Do you expect as much as 7-8 players to come into this team? Is it because, honestly, like, Chelsea didn't spend any money last season?
No, I didn't. I was expecting maybe maximum 2 signings. Then, okay, we go again in January or like the next summer.
Okay.
I was expecting, because give or take, we've spent 200, maybe over 200 million. I wasn't expecting that much spending, but it does look like the club had plans that I'll say we were not privy to. We had no idea of. And those plans was really paying off for them at this point in time.
True talk. Out of the 7 that have come in now, obviously Mendy is close. Which players are you looking to impress almost immediately? Like, no pressure.
Almost immediately. Hit the ground running.
Yeah, hit the ground running quickly.
Definitely. Personally, I'm very excited to see Kai Havertz.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, yeah, definitely.
Everybody knows
that. Saucy, Kai Havertz. I would like to see what he's about. Maybe first 2-3 games. At least I need to see. I don't need to be all flames. I don't need to be all fireworks. But then I need to be impressed at least to a certain extent. Then the fireworks can start coming later. So Kai Havertz, definitely Timo Werner. Because, he's replacing a 15 goal striker. I'm not saying in terms of quality, definitely. Between him and Tammy Abraham, there's significant gap there. But then he'll basically have to be better than 15 goals this season. So definitely I'm looking forward to Timo Werner and Kai Havertz. Then on the defensive end, definitely Chilwell. Then Ziyech, definitely I expect him to come in big. Definitely. But overall, I'm expecting all of them to be impressive.
Okay. Positional wise, where do you think Werner will play for Lampard? The straight 9 or coming in from the left? Which is the best?
Okay. Which is the best? Are you saying which I expect Lampard to play?
I think, especially for Germany, because when he started playing for Germany, he was just lone striker. But now they're training with somebody, and now he's top goal scorer.
Exactly. His numbers are better. Well, the thing about Werner is he's 24. So definitely there's still going to be lots of adjustments and improvements to his game, especially as a striker. So what I would naturally expect is anywhere he's performing, be it on the left or as a lone forward or whatever, maybe in a two-striker system, I would expect him to impress.
Okay.
Because like I said, it's 24, so I expect lots of adjustments coming in his game later on.
Okay.
Ultimately, there has to be a benchmark.
Okay. Hakim Ziyech, is he going to play like 10 or right wing?
Right wing. I expect him to play on the right.
Okay. I think in the Brighton game, that's where he started.
Yeah, exactly. I expect him to play on the right.
Things are very good. Chelsea is scary, man. Okay. I don't know if you have been seeing my tweets, man, but I'm part of the people that have been saying, man, Frank Lampard must deliver this season. I don't know what.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what expectations are up or are in for him, for you.
I mean, definitely, we finished on top 4 last season, so he definitely should be doing better than that. That is a given.
Okay.
That is a given. Now, I believe it's a question of, are we looking forward to a title chase, sort of, or are we just comfortable finishing, you know, top 3 or top 4, whatever? Definitely, there has to be, we can't be finishing 30 points behind the champions anymore. Like, that is definitely out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I would expect the gap to be cut to, but then, definitely, performance-wise and in terms of numbers at points, definitely, those two have to go up significantly. So I believe it's something we could judge towards the end of the season, but definitely as a given, we have to finish top 3 actually.
Okay.
That is a given. Then the Champions League, definitely finish top of the group. That is also a bare minimum. That's what I expect. I'm not too concerned about the cup competitions, but then that's it for now.
Okay. It's all good. Some fans are just saying get Klopp madder. Anyway, let's talk about Brighton on Monday. What are you expecting to see from Chelsea now?
Last time I made a prediction on this show, I messed it up. So I don't know. last time I made a prediction here, so I'm going to try and not make a prediction at this point in time. But then, I mean, like, definitely, I expect us to put in a dominant performance, make it very hard for Brighton, because last few meetings against Brighton, I wasn't playing, you know, I'm expecting a very dominant performance.
Okay.
Maybe even if not the scoreline, at least the playing style.
We'll see how it goes. Quickly, yeah. Where will Chelsea finish this season?
Top three. I'm expecting top three.
All right then. We had a problem last time we recorded on this show. Isia and I, we couldn't pronounce your owner's name. Can you help us with that, please?
My what?
We could not pronounce your owner's name. The Chelsea.
Roman Abramovich.
Oh, okay. Can you just say it one more time?
Why are you doing this?
Hey.
Anyway, it's been nice talking to you guys.
Thank you very much, Franchise, man. Nice one. Hopefully, we'll see you
soon. Alright, no problem. Take care. Good luck to you guys.
Nice one.
Yeah, later.
Hello, KY. Welcome to the Footy on Paper podcast and happy new season. How you doing, man?
I'm very fine. It's good to have the EPL back.
Yeah, that's good, man. Like, even though, like, they just went on holiday for, like, 2 weeks. They should come back.
Yeah, but they had the COVID break for 53, 4 months.
But they did travel, now. They were just indoors. But anyway, a break is a break.
Part of it, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to United this season? Or?
Yes, I am. I mean, it's not, a lot of United fans are quite pessimistic, which I understand. I mean, they've only got Van der Beek in. Everybody's, what the hell is going on with Sancho? You know, are we getting Reguilon? Are we getting Telles? Are we getting Thiago? But at the end of the day, I feel I'm 100% confident about Sancho, but it's Thiago. The Leicester situation, I'm not confident about.
Okay, keep going.
Because I know for a fact that United want to buy Sancho. And if you've been following United transfers for a long time, this is how they do. This is their routine, in quotes, when it comes to signing all these players. So, I'm optimistic. I'm actually very optimistic. So.
Okay. Ole seems to have like built like a team, like found like a winning formula. So all like United needs right now is just like few signings, as you said, Sancho, possibly Thiago, possibly Reguilon. Why are United like dragging their feet with these transfers?
It's always just money, you know. Trying to see if you can get the lowest price for a top product, which a lot of times doesn't really work well, because a lot of teams now, they know Manchester United have money, so they try and drag and drag and drag, but they themselves know that they need this player, so at the end of the day they end up paying the money.
Yeah, because it was the same thing that happened with Bruno Fernandes, right?
And you guys
have been talking, like, if he started the season, maybe you guys will have challenged for the title.
The only difference between this and Bruno Fernandes was the fact that Bruno Fernandes should have been gotten last summer. Because we signed Van Bissaka, Maguire, and Daniel James, United were able to cover that smoke screen with the old, we weren't in for Fernandes, even though I knew for a fact United was in for Fernandes from the summer. I knew. And that was why immediately McTominay and Tom are injured, they knew they had to get Bruno Fernandes.
Okay.
The difference now is the whole world knows we are in for Sancho. So the whole world literally knows they're in for Sancho. And then the reality of it is, there is no PR spin they want to do that is going to make them. No, there's no, because United, they like to do PR spin. But there's no PR screen they want to do right now that isn't going to make them look like fools. Because if you say, oh, they weren't too expensive, Dortmund's money was too expensive, excuse me, you knew what Dortmund wanted 3 months ago. So if you knew you were not going to pay, why did you wait this long? You understand? That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, everybody shouting, Jadon Sancho is worth 120 million euros. I'm sorry to say, I disagree. I'm one of the few people that actually feel he's worth the amount.
Yeah.
He's actually worth the amount. You're getting a 20-year-old that can give you nothing less than 6 solid years for roughly over £100. When you Rooney in 2004 was worth £30 million, if you had inflation and number of 16 years plus, and when Rooney was 19 and he came from Everton, he had not played Champions League. Jadon Sancho has played Champions League. Come on, it's not even a debate. It's not even a debate. And then Dortmund has even made it easy for you. Okay, you might not necessarily pay the money up front, you can pay it in installments, but we won't guarantee £120 million. Excuse me, €120 million. Excuse me, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. It's a no-brainer. So there's no PR swing they want to do about that. There's absolutely no PR swing they want to do about that. There's no going to make them look like fools. So
should it be Sancho or nothing? You understand? If we don't get things, we should wait. Is that what they're doing? Because I mean,
no. So this is the thing, and this is the thing. I've told everybody, you don't get Sancho this season. That's the end.
Okay.
For United.
Okay.
It is as boldly written in black and white as it is. That's the actual reality. And those are the things that give me confidence about it. Because this is the best time for you to get Sancho. You've qualified for Champions League. And when people talk about Sancho alternatives, I'm sorry to say, I am not trying to hype Sancho. But the reality of it is there is no Sancho alternative. I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
there is no Sancho alternative. Because I look at it, okay, who do you want to pick? Adamo Traore. Sorry, Adamo Traore is a Spanish Rashford.
So I don't understand. Are you belittling Rashford right now?
I'm not belittling Rashford, but Rashford is frustrating.
Okay.
He's a good player. Rashford is a good player.
I know people will come for you.
No, people should come for me, but I'll gladly put them. Rashford is a good player, but he's frustrating. So you want
to come on? He's not Adama Traore. Come on.
You want to? No, but when people are talking about Sancho alternatives, Adama Traore is one of the first two names people are mentioning. That's the reality.
Really? Wow.
So you go for Adama Traore, and first of all, Adama Traore is not leaving Wolves for nothing less than £60 million.
Yeah.
Sorry. They are trying to tell me that I will not pay. If you are going to pay £60 million for Adama Traore, you might as well pay £100 million for Sancho.
Yeah, true. But true.
Dembele, my God. Dembele in a year isn't good for 9 months.
So that's a no-go area. I mean, you need people that...
Let's not even talk about the price that Barcelona is going to collect. They'll collect nothing less than £80 to £90 million. Because they bought him for £135 million.
Yeah, still the same amount for the Sancho.
So you might as well just pay that for Sancho. Oh, please, don't let me start about Gareth Bale. Excuse me, please. Red flags on all areas. You want to have another Alexis Sanchez?
Okay. Let's settle the Sancho issue. You talked about other targets. Why are United not looking at those targets as well? You understand? Like, instead of just focusing on the Sancho, why look at the Thiago? You talk about Thiago, you talk about Reguilón, you talk about Alex Telles. I mean,
the problem, so for me right now, from the news I've read today, it's more likely for us to probably even get Telles than Reguilón, because this is the thing, right?
Okay.
Transfers are very tricky. So first of all, Thiago, all things being equal, Thiago will choose Liverpool because Liverpool is a better team than us. Right?
Yeah, he wants Liverpool.
So Thiago is a bit of a long shot. Mm. I mean, if we get Sancho, Woodward, thumbs up. If we get it, all well and good. The problem with Reguilón is the fact that he's a Spanish boy, he's a Madrid boy, that still sees his future in Madrid.
Oh, okay.
And Madrid know that, so that is why they are not they are not exactly
really pushing.
Yeah, saying they want the buyback clause.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the problem is when you're building a team, you don't need someone that can do buyback clause, because you are building a team for maybe you want to win in the next 2 years, and then it's that second year that Madrid is calling and then he wants to go back. He has bought everything.
Brutal.
So that is the reason. And then they are like, Regulon is 5 million, is 5 million, 5 million euros different. But United are like, and I'm sure one of the things they are also looking at is, we are going to spend this amount on Sancho. We need to cover up. We need to get as little. We need to spend as little money on other areas to be able to accommodate Sancho. That is why I feel, and that was why I was extremely happy that we didn't go for Grealish.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, that's why I went for Van de Beek. Although I personally do prefer Van de Beek over Grealish, because Van de Beek gives you more options across the midfield.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Good. Thank you for your economics. Let's talk about United in general now. What are like only targets for the season? Man? What was a successful
top season for again United? And, personally, top four again and higher point total.
Okay, so like that's why basically like cut the gap, right?
I still feel, right, that Manchester and Liverpool probably still fight for first and second. But, I mean, I want us to, improve on gameplay. Top four is still the target, whether we like it or not. Top four is still the target. Maybe win the FA Cup, reach the knockout stages in the Champions League. You know, that's a good season.
Okay.
You know, let Sancho get his first season. Then we can now build. Then the next season, okay, we can now say, okay, now let's now see if we can push for the title. That's my
answer. Last question before I let you go, because I know you have some football to watch. if Sancho doesn't come, is that the end? Is that disaster for United?
I'm going to be the prophet of doom. If Sancho doesn't come, Sancho United might probably not make Europa League.
Oh my goodness.
So, this is my point.
Mm.
This is my point. And I just want to quickly accentuate on what I said.
Yeah.
The problem is, now when you don't have Sancho, the problem is United's attack is too left-sided. Now, one of the reasons why I'm extremely shouting the Sancho thing is because your right back is not exactly attacking. So the build up here cannot even come from the right. Now, so what Sancho gives you is it allows you to stretch the opponent's defense, because all you need to do against Manchester United right now is just overload the left. That's what you need to do. But now when you have Rashford and Sancho on the left, do you understand? You've already stretched the defense. And it, yes, exactly. So I'm sorry to say, if we don't, and let's not forget other things are strengthening. Whether we like it or not, Spurs is going to be better. Arsenal is going to be better. Everton is going to give people a run for their money. Let's not talk about Chelsea. That's top six.
Yeah.
So when I say Manchester United might not make Europa, now you understand what I'm saying.
I get your point. Thank you very much for letting us pick your brains. Okay, well, man.
Yeah, welcome. Looking forward to doing more.
Oh, yeah, cool, man. United play Palace next week, Abi. Just give us a quick prediction.
Of what?
You play Palace next week. United play Palace next week. Your first Premier League game. Can you give us a prediction? Yeah.
Okay, two ways. Besides Sancho before the Palace match, we win 3-0.
Okay.
We don't sign Jordan Sancho, we probably win 2-1, the match 1-0.
It's a win-win, nevertheless. Thank you very much, K-Wan, man.
You're welcome.
Yeah, man. Later.
All right, so you can follow us at Footy on Paper on Twitter and Instagram. That's at FOOTYONPAPER. So if you like what you've been listening to and you want to, you know, just interact with us, I know, get logged into our regular content, our competitions, everything that's going on with Footy on Paper. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Footy on Paper. And if you want to also place an ad, you can send us an email at thefootyonpaperpodcast@yahoo.com. That's thefootyonpaperpodcast@yahoo.com. Also, you can send us voice messages on any of your preferred platforms. The link is there. So you can just record a little something and just send to us. Cheers.